Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Unless there's an injury. When you're talking about Anthony Davis, you can never rule out the possibility. It's Friday morning. We'll start with a little alliteration. He is the brilliant but brittle baller. I'm just speaking the truth.
Damn, Zubin!
The 30 games or the 10 weeks he's missed. Literally, he missed 30 games or 10 weeks. That's the longest stretch he's missed in his career. And for somebody like AD, that says something because he's always on the shelf.
Jeez.
Jay will be back off the shelf from paternity leave on Monday. Alan Hahn is in the house. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive
paternity
Insurance.
Leave. I hope he's feeling okay.
Yeah, you're a huge Laker fan. I'm sure he is. You know, Jay watched it last night. Ball is live. Alan, NBA number one in his heart. So it's great to have you both here. So let's talk about it right off the jump. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Let's get you started. The draft is less than a week away. Plenty of NFL conversation over the next 4 hours. But Key, you watched it last night. The Lakers go down to the Mavs. They sit fifth in the West. It's the second matchup in 3 days. Another big one tomorrow night under the lights in L.A. on ABC. We'll talk about that and LeBron's eventual return. But what did you see in the immediate aftermath of AD's return last night? Played about 16, 17 minutes, 4 points, 2 of 10 from the field, limited to just first half action.
Well, clearly you could tell he was ginger and kind of picking his way through to try to find out, you know, to get his cardio up, just to get back in the rhythm, game shape, so to speak. You know, early on, he started missing shots, easy buckets that, you know, he should have been making. I felt like he was forcing things at the elbow instead of going all the way down to the bucket. He was kind of stuck in between the three-point line and the free throw line at times on turnarounds. And I'm okay. You know, he got out of there healthy. I'm okay. He played limited minutes. Like you said, 16 or so minutes. I'm fine with that. I think you just wanted to see him move around a little bit, and we got a chance to see that.
What you have is, of course, in the NBA a problem, because what you have are two of your biggest teams, two teams that everybody expects will probably reach the finals, that you basically are putting their stars in bubble wrap, right? Like for a guy like AD, for the Lakers and LeBron eventually, this is get-right time.
Yes.
For a lot of other teams, it's winning time. This is about your seeding. This is about where you want to find yourself. This is about getting out of the 7-10 if you are. The Lakers are 2.5 games above that line of demarcation. I mean, that you don't want to play around with that, obviously. I know what you're going to say. It doesn't matter.
It matters.
They'll play the 7-10. You don't want extra mileage on your players if you don't need it. It's unnecessary. So they've got to get AD right, and that's what you worry about. But for the league, that's what I always – to me, it's the most frustrating thing about the NBA. It's a star-driven league. But what we also have are stars that don't play all the time. Kawhi Leonard never plays either. They don't play all the time, and it's always – what's most important is they'll play in the playoffs. And that's kind of frustrating because you have matchups. Even last night, Philly Bucks. What a great game that was supposed to be. It wasn't. Why? The schedule, and also no Ben Simmons. So it's just like you never really seem to have the matchups in the regular season you want, because it's always about, well, as long as they're healthy in the postseason, that's what matters most.
See, I think it's unfair to these guys when people say they don't play all the time. They're going to miss a handful. There's 80-something games or whatever it is. A couple games off, a couple nights here and there. I don't think that's
a
bad
couple
at all.
Zubin, say it again. How long has he been out? You said it before.
Well, he was hurt. You can't.
You just said a couple of games.
You can't play with an Achilles. I'm talking Kawhi. Right. Kawhi's situation at times is a little bit different. Paul George's situation at times is a little bit different. You cannot, if you Kevin Durant and you hurt yourself, you got kicked into the thigh with a deep thigh bruise, you can't play with that, because now all of a sudden, if you're hampered on one side, you can injure the other side again.
Right.
If you're AD and you have something wrong with your Achilles, they just gave you umpteen amounts of money. They can't play with that, Alan. They cannot afford to not make sure he's not 100% right. And then obviously the king of all kings. You got to make sure he's right. You can't roll him out there just for the sake of winning a game or appeasing fan watching television.
But don't you see what I'm saying? Is that for some teams, the regular season means, like right now, for the regular season, these games, like for Dallas, that was a big game. It's an important game for them. But then there's a handful of teams that have all the stars on it. It's one thing if there was more parity in the league, but because you have two teams that kind of dominate the stars, you have two big stars, some of the biggest stars, top five player in the game on the Lakers. You've got top 10 players in the game, maybe even top five, you can argue it, on the Nets. And yet for those two teams that we think are the two superpowers that are supposed to meet in the finals, the regular season doesn't really matter.
But here's what I'm going to tell you, though, Alan. When you mentioned the Dallas Mavericks, some people would argue depending on who you're talking to, that Luka is a top 6, 7, 8 player in the league.
He's by himself, though. They don't dominate stars.
But hold on. It's not my fault that Porzingis hasn't arrived when Dallas made the move to go get him like they It's not my fault.
He got hurt again last night.
It's not my fault. It's not – when I say my fault, I'm talking about the league.
The Lakers,
It's not our fault.
Right, but
He's supposed to be a top 10 player when they acquired him. Everybody, the unicorn, Okay, well, it's –
But Key, and I understand you're coming off a championship, so you have the track record already of they won a championship with these guys, so they should be able to win it again. But it continues to me in the NBA to create this idea of don't worry, when they're healthy in the playoffs, that's all that matters. You have to trust that. Now we can trust the Lakers when they get healthy to be a team that can win a championship because we just saw it. But in Brooklyn, can we do that? We can't because we've only seen them play 7 games.
But you look at
the talent and say they absolutely will because of the talent. But it's just any other league, we just don't see stuff like that.
The
teams that have the biggest stars, and those stars really, we just don't ever see them on the court together.
I would say this, Z, is that when you talk about teams with star power, players that are at the next level, when they get hurt, you have to protect them. You can't afford to go out there and something else happens to them. Now you're completely destroyed for the season. So I don't mind LeBron James sitting out a few extra games so that we know 100% he's healthy. Because it flashes in your mind, Allen, you go back to Kevin Durant of a couple years ago. He was hurt.
Yeah.
He sat out for a little bit, and they got ready to make this championship run. It's like, he's not going to miss that. So you got to protect him from himself sometimes. And you see it in football as well. You see it in baseball as well. Guys will push the envelope to get there, and then they wind up hurting themselves again, and that's something we just don't want to see.
I mean, I'll split the difference to Allen's point. We'll get to LeBron here, who is on the shelf. But right now, if you're an NBA fan, a league that's thirsting for viewers for whatever reason it might be.
It's an ugly shirt LeBron wearing, too.
Right now, you don't have Harden out there to watch, Durant out there to watch, Mitchell out there to watch. Porzingis, as Allen mentioned, got the sprained left ankle yesterday. Simmons has been out. Giannis just came back from an injury. Jamal Murray just is out for the season. Yeah. Paul George is recovering from a toe injury. Zach LaVine is out. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. In the 30 seconds you guys were talking. I mean, this is a big issue for the league. And LeBron, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. Go. I'm just shaking my head.
And LeBron obviously is at the top of that list. According to our Lakers insider, Dave McMenamin, don't expect LeBron back anytime soon. Perhaps another couple of weeks. Keep in mind, the Lakers are 7-10 with LeBron out. Here's the prognosis. You might have to wait till the calendar turns to see the King.
No one's anticipating LeBron back in the lineup until early May. Theoretically, he may only get like 5 regular season games when he returns. I don't think that matters all that much. Last year, if you want to make the parallel to the season that they had in the bubble, the ramp-up games they had following a 4.5-month hiatus, there was only 8 games there, and LeBron only played in 6 of them. So it'd be a similar type, getting his feet wet, getting a little bit of rhythm back before the games absolutely matter in the playoffs. And certainly, as long as he's 100%, that's the thing that everyone in the organization cares about.
And I also wanted everybody to take into consideration, the Lakers won the championship, as Allen said, last season. They had 71 days off from the end of that to the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of rest for
these
guys.
Shortest offseason ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not a lot of rest. So when you got to factor that into this season of basketball – as well, when you start to talk about guys resting up. You ran off that long laundry list of players. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll say it. Not my fault. People get hurt. It happens.
Yeah, this is a unique season, obviously, and everybody's talked about some of these injuries are probably the impact of the condensed schedule and really the short offseason for so many of these teams. But all I'm saying is that for the league, we keep saying, and this has become a thing over the last couple of years, just as long as they're healthy in the playoffs, that's not really healthy for the sport.
No question about it. Allen mentioned the line of demarcation. The Lakers 2.5 games out of the 7 spot, 7-10, 7-8, 9-10 would be the play-in tournament. That 7 spot is held right now by the Dallas Mavericks. And the NBA's on ESPN Radio. Speaking to those two, Mavs Lakers again tomorrow, this time in L.A.
Fourth place in the East, baby.
Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most of these ESPN Radio stations. And you can see the game Saturday primetime on ABC. Big spot, second time in 3 days. And as Alan mentioned, playoff seating on the line, particularly for the Mavs, who are hanging on to the bottom rung of the Western Conference playoff picture. On the way from bottom rung to top rung, Tom Brady. All we did before Super Bowl week is talk about all the great Brady numbers that could be accomplished with a win. But now Tom literally has a problem with numbers.
Yeah.
That's on the way. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Alan Hahn in the house on ESPN Radio. And this morning, right now, on ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Keys jersey on the wall. Keys jersey number will be taking center stage in just a second. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including one of the co-hosts of the NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, SportsCenter's Al Duncan, will be here in 1 hour. We'll look forward to talking to her. She's a big Broncos fan, and they're picking in the top 10. And for all the quarterback discussions we've had of all those quarterback needy teams at the top, kind of wonder if the Broncos might be going there as well. We'll talk to Al about that in 1 hour. All right, fellas. Tom Brady, we all know the deal. Super Bowl week, the seventh Super Bowl, everything that came with it. And over the last few years, whether it's Tom versus Tom on Facebook or whatever the case would be, literally flashback 3-4 years ago, for somebody of Brady's ilk, he had really no real profile on social media. Alan was talking about his Instagram during the commercial break. That just wasn't Brady's thing, despite the scope and range that he has. So the NFL puts out a rule change with regards to jerseys yesterday, in which running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, DBs, and linebackers can now all wear single digits if they choose. All the wide receivers don't have to be in the 80s, the DBs in the 20s, the linebackers in the 50s, like we're used to seeing. But Tom Brady, as I mentioned, who is now obviously a social media guru, weighing in and is totally angry at this particular move by the league. This is just a couple of quotes that Brady put out there on social yesterday in regards to these name number changes. Quote, "Gonna make for a lot of bad football." He used the word "dumb" in capital letters to describe it. "Why not let the linemen wear whatever they want to? Why have numbers? Just have colored jerseys. Why not wear the same number? Dumb." Key, obviously, you didn't wear a number that started with an 8. You wore 19. I want to get to your thoughts on that in a second, because obviously you were breaking the mold before this has been done. But when I first saw this story, take me inside the locker room just as a player. The very first thing when I saw this story was, this feels like a marketing thing. This feels like Jordan coming back with 45. Now I got to go buy this other guy's jersey because he's my favorite player and I don't want to look behind the times. And it's not quite a retro jersey because he's still on the team. And that's the first thing I thought. I didn't think in any way, shape, or form players, to Tom's point, would be like disoriented if that were to happen. What do you make of this?
I don't know what – I really don't know what Tom is saying.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I mean,
I don't know what he's saying. Maybe Tom is just being Tom, you know, flexing his muscles. I don't know. Because when you look at it, you said receivers, mm-hmm. running backs, mm-hmm. what other positions?
Tight ends, DBs, and linebackers.
DBs and linebackers. The only thing I can think of is the identification of the defender that Tom has to recognize at the line of scrimmage. That's the only thing I can think of. But if the position doesn't matter, the number, it's the position. So when he walks to the line of scrimmage and he has to point out who a certain guy is, he's going to do that based on the position and the alignment and what defensive scheme they're running, not the number, because it's the player, not the number. If I put a guy at the middle linebacker position, which is the Mike, and that guy's wearing number 3, doesn't he's the Mike. He's the Mike. You've identified him based on the scheme, not on the number. It may help the quarterbacks in that instance identify it a little sooner, faster, earlier, whatever you want to call it. But if he's the Mike, he's the Mike. If all of a sudden he blitzes and somebody replaces him, that guy's the Mike. If he's wearing number 97, he's the Mike. So I don't know where Tom is coming from. In fact, he has a couple guys on his team that he throws the ball to that wears these numbers. Mike Evans is 13. Chris Godwin, once upon a time, was 12. If I can remember, Antonio Brown was 17 at the New England Patriots, although he was 84 with Pittsburgh. I don't know. I don't know what Tom is talking about. I like it, though.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Why not? Allow a guy, and then this is going to be the problem. Many of the skill position players come from all these different schools. They typically have the same numbers in college. Allen went to Hofstra, call it, and I went to USC, and you wore 3, I wore 3, but we're on the same team playing the same position. That could be problematic. Who's going to get the number? Mm-hmm. Most likely.
Me, yeah, I know, I understand that. More popular in the locker room. But I'll tell you what, and I know, Zubin, you've got to take care of some business first, so
indeed.
I'll let you do that.
No doubt. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, Straight to Allen.
All right, so really, I got 3 points on this, and we talked about it yesterday, and it was actually fun because I remember, you know, you coming in with 19, and I thought that's – and it's a cool story that I hope you'll share. But first, a couple of things. Number one, the Chiefs are the team that proposed this. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is complaining about it, right? Like, he's not worried about recognizing, you know, what number is the mic. That's one. Two, it's not an issue in college.
No.
Right? Like, quarterbacks are coming into the league already understanding that there's all kinds of numbers all over your roster because you come to college maybe as one thing and you become another thing. You know, there's guys who are wide receivers that become cornerbacks. There's guys that are tight ends that become – or quarterbacks that become tight ends. It happens. So your number, you know, doesn't really reflect what your position is when it comes to college. And number three, Tom Brady has passion for his sport. And he is the best of all time. And if he has an opinion on something, he can have it. Like, I don't think we have to – like, I see a lot of memes and stuff how he's the old man, you know, get off my lawn take and stuff.
No,
but it's like
– this is Brady being Brady.
Like, let Tom Brady have an opinion. He's going to give you what he thinks of this, and he's going to let you know about it. But I also – you know, I also think it's cool. And I also think that it's something that if players are happier this way – what's the difference? Who cares? But do me a favor, though, because when you shared it yesterday, I thought it was such a cool story. Because you were unique as a wide receiver coming in wearing 19. That wasn't something that was typical. It normally was, like Altoon, 88, like, you know, Wesley Walker, 85. Well, like, you had those numbers were the bigger numbers that you saw on wide receivers. Ugly. You came in and actually wanted a single digit at first.
Yeah, I wanted 3. I wanted my college number, and they petitioned the league. The league said, well, nah, we don't want to do that. So we said, okay, I'll tell you what, let us think for a minute. Pat Kerwin, who was the assistant general manager at the time for the New York Jets, had a son. And his son was in the equipment room with me, and he goes, why don't you take 19? And I'm like, why would I want 19? And he goes, well, you're the number one pick. That's the one. And then he goes, 3 times 3, that'll equal the 9. And I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, that's what's up. And so I decided – that's what I was going to do. And they went, they told the league. And for a while, I had like the highest jersey sales in the league for like several years. Like, the 19 was just cool. Little kids, young people, I don't want to call them little kids, but young people identify with small. 88, that, I can't do it. I just, 87. Do I look like an 87? Like, think about it. Do I look like an 87?
You look more like an 87 than, like, you know,
Devontae Smith, Mike. No, I don't look like an 87.
You were a big wide receiver.
No,
you want to fill the back.
That's one of the ugliest numbers that a receiver could have.
What?
Oh, God. Give me 80. If I got to wear 80, I want 80, and that's it. I'll take 84. 80 and 84. That's it. I wouldn't touch anything else in the 80s.
Wait a minute. If you took, what if you had 81?
No, I don't.
It's the exact same thing as 19, just reversed.
No, it's not. How is it the same as 19? That's an 8.
Because
it's not a 9.
It's reversed. It's the same shape number.
No, it's not.
It's a single digit, thin, and then the wide number. It's pretty much the same template.
Ugly. As I have always told people, quarterbacks, in my opinion, and this is weird because you get into these number games, Zubin. Certain numbers make you look a certain way, believe it or not. And you can ask certain players as they come on to our show over time, or maybe you ask Bart, or I think we've had this conversation before. If Sam Darnold wore number 4 instead of 14, he looked like a totally different quarterback.
Glenn Foley.
He would look cool.
That is true, though.
He would look cool. He would look elusive.
You are right
about
that.
If he wore 4.
But
that 14 just looks ugly.
I need to know something. I need to know something. I want people to tweet at me. I want also people to call in. What number does Keyshawn look like? I need to know that. Like you asked the question.
I don't look like an 80.
You asked the question. I want people to get. I really think that'd be hilarious to get some answers. What number does Keyshawn look like? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
It's important, Zubin.
Go for it. Give us a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN. What number does Key look like? And if you can describe why somebody looks different than 14 and 4, I would love that too. I'm not quite clear.
Really? I'll explain to you during the break, man, because it's. You got to just...
My son agrees with this theory.
Like, Cam Newton should not wear number 10. That just doesn't look good on Cam Newton.
Does Kyler look good in a 1?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So there really is... Okay, we'll talk about it. But just, we'll talk about it with you as well. What number does Key look like? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Alan's other point, sometimes in college football, like... 3 or 2 guys wear the same number. There's like 2 guys that wear number 4.
Well, right? You don't even
know
what could,
right. You got over 100 guys with the walk-ons. You just never know how it works out. On the way, speaking of numbers, right now, the Cowboys pick in the top 10.
Right.
Will they stay in the top 10? And will they go defense the way everybody says they will? Or will they take a risk and draft one of the best offensive skill players Mel Kiper Jr. has ever evaluated? We'll get into that next after Key has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like a walk-off home run in a 9th inning good. Well, okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than other guys, plus no contract all over America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half as much? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
There's a lot of things they need to address. So by putting this thing to bed, they can start doing that.
They can plan to create more talent around Dak Prescott.
And then on the Cowboys, they'll have some cap to keep players and add players and free.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I guess the question is, Coach Greenberg, could his team have beaten Baylor? I don't know. I don't think any team in modern times could have beaten Baylor the way they looked on that Monday night in Indianapolis. Here, the voice of Jay Will. He'll be back on Monday as we'll get full throttle ready for draft week, which takes place April 29th to May 1st, ESPN, and right here on ESPN Radio with Alan Hahn's partner, Bart Scott, a part of our coverage. That'll be 7 p.m. next Thursday night on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin are with you.
Yay.
Alan Hahn in for Jay, as I mentioned. Jay will be back on Monday. We asked you before the break, what number should Keyshawn Johnson look like if he was a number that could be manifested or morphed into a number? What does Key look like based on the fact that some of these receivers in the NFL can switch their number, and Key broke the mold long ago, donning the 19? And believe it or not, we have some callers on it. Key did tell Alan during the break, your number personifies your personality. Interesting.
Absolutely.
Brad in Georgia. Go ahead, what do you got?
Yeah, before we get to the call, I want you to tell me what number, because I did play a little bit. What number do I look like? You tell me, because you're big on
basketball.
This. Basketball, of course. What number am I?
You look like you could probably be like a 20.
20?
Yeah, like a 20, like 22.
I never wore a 20 number in my life.
Yeah, but you look like a 20. You look like that.
If I told you I wore 33, I wore 50.
But you're not a 33, though.
And 41.
But you're not a 33.
I was,
you're not
I
a 50
it.
Either, though.
No, but you know what? That was that's
you could be a
best,
44. The
best I played was wearing 50.
You could be a 44. But a 20, because you look like
44 is a guy that fouls people. 44 is a dude that gets five fouls, maybe about 8 rebounds.
See, I was
like, he sets picks. 44 is the guy.
That's what you look like.
How dare you?
You don't look like a 33, 33. 33 is a deadly shooter. Like, you're not, like, don't look like Larry Bird.
Keyshawn might need to look me up.
I'm just saying. You asked a question. You look like a 20.
I look like a 20.
A 20, that a guy who does everything right, that comes in, first one in, last one out of the building, all that sort of stuff.
Family
guy. Family guy, kids, smart, articulate. You look like that, too.
Okay.
You know, give any coaches.
Chris Mullin wore 20 at St. John's, so I'll tell you.
I get it. You give the coaches no problems. That's why they got you in the building. They like you. You make sure everything is taken care of. That's what you look like.
All right. Let's hear now. All right, now that we got that out of the way.
Are you left-handed?
Yeah.
He's crafty.
Crafty, right?
You got to be left-handed. You got to be crafty.
All the little cold words I got to throw out there.
I see what you're doing. All right, let's see what people say.
Brad's in Georgia on ESPN Radio this morning. All right, Brad, Key looks like what number?
He is definitely an 81 or an 88.
Oh, look at that. You just gave him the gas face.
I can't even respond to that. That's not good.
No, I do think 81 would fit you.
So,
it's just the same template as 19. Just flip it.
Ugly.
Not good.
Milton in Denver. You're on ESPN Radio. What number does Key look like?
Morning, gentlemen. Key looks like a 3. I'll give him that. But he just said some of those bigger numbers were ugly. So I have a hard time with that. Imagine changing some of the historic players in the NFL. Can you imagine a Jerry Rice not wearing an 80? Lynn Swann an 88? But can you imagine Otto?
You're talking about two dudes that ain't got no swag, 0. Jerry Rice, greatest receiver ever in the history of the game. He ain't got no swag like that.
Does he look the same in a 3 with the same stats?
I think Jerry Rice would look the same with a 3, but the problem is the single digits and what we like to call hot dog numbers, 1, 2, 3. Like, when you're in Little League, the first thing you
do
is you go and you get you a hot dog number. You want 1, 3, 2, 4, 5, 7.
Why is that a hot dog number?
Because those are always the star players. They always get those numbers, the single digits. They always get the single digits. And in basketball, it's always 33, 23. You know, they go get those hot dog numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, that's what it is. It's hot dog numbers.
So one of my favorite players in NBA history is Jason Kidd. And I got to say, the worst part of his career is when he wore 32 for the Suns. It just did not look right. He was a 5. I'm with Key on this.
He was a 5.
Wait. Can I also add to this caveat that if you have a short last name, you should not have a double-digit number? And if you have a long last name, you shouldn't have a single-digit number.
I never looked at it that way.
It doesn't make sense when you look at it on the back. A kid
personality
is such a short last name, you need a single digit.
Personality
so
is
Zion,
the numbers.
If Zion wore just Zion on the back of his uniform, it would fit
the
better.
The 1
with
would
one
look
one
a lot better.
Yeah.
Although it's still lost on his back. Yeah, but it would look better than if it's Williamson and then this just single digit.
Hey, before we move on, here's a perfect example for you. Patrick Mahomes. great quarterback on his way to being one of the top three, four quarterbacks in the history of the game, maybe the greatest. As a defender, and I play defense, 15 is cool. When I see him running around, it's like, eh. But if he out on a five and I got off the bus and I thought about him running around, I'm a little more fearful of his running style and skills with five on, because when I see 15, it's like he's a scrambling quarterback. If he had on five, you would look at him way, I'm just telling you, you would look at him way different. It's almost like Deshaun. If Deshaun wore 15, you wouldn't be, that's an ugly number for Deshaun. Ugly. That four looks sweet. It fits him. I'm just being honest. If Cam wore like 11, you would be like, ugh.
Do you remember what number Jerry Rice wore with the Broncos?
I believe he still wore 80.
Mm.
No, it was an ugly number. It was
an ugly number?
Yeah, it was an ugly number, right?
You want me to tell you what number it was?
What was it?
19.
Yeah, but see, we already, it wasn't, he didn't even play. That doesn't even look right on Jerry, though. His personality didn't fit 19. His personality didn't fit 19.
I love
it's,
the theory.
It's a personality thing. You got to have a certain.
How did 45 look on Jordan?
Not good. Because in our head, we already saw 23.
Mm-hmm.
45 didn't look good. 45 weird. Is for like, what was the dude, the big dude that went to like Arkansas to play basketball?
Corliss Williamson?
No, white cat. He was like a power forward. Oh, God, I can't think of his name. He might even play for the Knicks, I believe, once upon a time.
A lot of people went through there.
But anyway, that's for a power forward, 45 is. Like okay. A dude that's a foul guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the guy that uses fouls, set screens,
exactly.
Gets 8 rebounds.
The numbers are important, though. Alan, is Alan on with us?
What's good, bro?
Is the numbers not important, man?
And I just told a caller, numbers matter. Bull tried to tell me they didn't matter. They matter.
They matter.
Zion with the one, not feeling it.
Yeah, that's a weird number for him. When he comes to the Knicks, he'll probably change it.
Okay, we're going to sell that now. Or the Lakers, when he switches agents to clutch.
You already got Anthony Davis.
I just think Jerry Rice personified the wide receiver position, and a number in the 80s personifies that position. So for me, it's the perfect match.
Yeah, you on some 1960 stuff, man. I'm way ahead of you on the game.
I think there are things that parallel the position.
OBJ got snack, crackle, pop, and he's fire. I don't give a damn what nobody say. I'm not putting OBJ in no damn 82. It does not fit who he is. It doesn't. 13 fits him 100%. 14 doesn't fit him. 16 doesn't fit him. 2 would fit him. 1 would fit him. 3 would fit him. Those numbers, because he has a hot dog personality.
Right. So this is great. So this is essentially like saying it's superficial. It's basically a number that looks good on a player. Like you just talked about two of the greatest receivers in the history of the game. One of them actually, Jerry Rice, right? And you just said he doesn't have any swag. What he does have is records and rings.
That's cool,
and
but
that's enough swag for me.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about
the
records.
But that's
and
my
rings.
Point. So you're saying this is superficial. You're the guy who gets off the bus. You see a guy and he's got a weird number. And you're like, he sucks.
That's what happens.
And you know what I want?
Line.
But you know what I want? Because I was that guy. I'd walk in the gym and they'd see the skinny white guy with all this hair, and they're like, he must suck. And then when I dunked on you, I looked at you and said, don't judge a book by its cover.
But that's what happens. That is in the mind of the people. That's what happens. The players think that way. Larry Bird said it. Disrespectful. They put a white dude on me. I'm about to go nuts. That's what happens.
Does he look good in 33?
But Larry Bird looked good at 33.
He made 33.
Larry Bird got some stuff in him, man. He got some stuff in him. You figure out what I mean when I say some stuff in him.
I know what you mean.
Very crafty player, as we know. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, all of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Would it be a good idea for the Cowboys to basically do a role reversal? Everybody's saying they're in the top 10. They need some defensive help. There's some great defensive personnel available, particularly in the back end of the secondary. But there's also an amazing tight end, one of the best that Mel's ever evaluated, Florida's Kyle Pitts. Keep in mind, Jason Witten, the longest tenured Cowboy of all time, gone, retired.
Number 82.
Yep. Blake Jarwin last year got an injury in game one, so they didn't get much production out of the tight end position. And boom, they're in the top 10. And if there's a run on quarterbacks, who knows? Possibly Kyle Pitts falling to the Cowboys. Could it happen? Well, they did meet with him. This courtesy of the Cowboys' official Twitter feed. The owner meeting and courting the best tight end in this draft.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm excited to have you come into this league. And, man, pair up we could do with old Dak Prescott. Some of those guys that we've got out there have options to get you the ball. So we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here.
So there you have it. Obviously, Jerry being Jerry Key, you have said for the last couple of days, even if this guy turns out to be the next iteration of Kittle or Kelsey or Gronk or any of these players that weren't rated as highly as this guy is, according to Mel Kiper Jr., you just cannot see a possibility of this team in the top 10 having a need at the tight end position. You just cannot see them under any circumstances doing this move.
Well, when you say a need at the tight end position, he's not a true tight end. And I understand where people's argument tries to go and say, well, you know, in this day and age and in what they do with tight ends, they flex them out. Not all teams do that. Not all teams utilize their tight ends in a receiver-style position. They still got to, at times, get down and put their hand in the ground. So if you're going to waste a pick on a pass-catching receiving tight end, now you have to waste a roster spot on two blocking tight ends, and he has to come off the field on short yardage and goal line. So how much value and production are you going to get out of that particular position when you have other needs that are so important to your team? Offensive line, defensive back. You don't have pass-catching, skill position player needs. They have plenty of those. Plenty. They need to address the defensive side of the ball in the secondary or the offensive line.
You played at, what'd you play at, about 220?
220.
220, yeah. Right? He's 240. Yeah. You guys are almost the same height. Like, is he, like, would he be more receiver back in the day? Because
he doesn't have,
like, he's become a tight end mainly because of how just big he is, but he doesn't play like one, like you said. And it just feels like it's just because of where the game's going, they'll put him at tight end where he has wide receiver skills.
You do understand Kelsey blocks. And
of course.
Kittle blocks.
And Kittle blocks.
And Gronk blocks. And all.
But know, not all of them do these days.
All of them do.
Not well.
All of them.
Not
all of them. Okay. Blocking like Larry Allen is different than blocking like a tight end, as you know. We're not asking you to block like Larry Allen. What we're asking you to do is be physical enough
to slow him down,
to disrupt the flow. Can he do that? Does he have a strike in him when he puts his hand in the ground? Can he boom? Can he disrupt that? At times in my career, in different formations, we lined up, we put me at the Y. I necessarily didn't have my hand in the ground. Only on short yardage and goal line did I have my hand in the ground, because I still was able to disrupt. Mm-hmm. But you put your hand in the ground, now I got a Michael Strahan over my head. Okay? Can I disrupt him enough to where the quarterback gets just enough time or the running back can peel around the corner just enough? If we get into a tight bunch situation and he's at the point of attack and he has to slam down on defensive end, while the other guy comes up and gets the scraping linebacker, can he hold that defensive end enough for Saquon Barkley to turn the corner? Or is he going to be like, oh, that ain't really what I want to do? That's important. Jason Witten was not a trained killer at the tight end spot. But when he needed to do it, he became a trained killer. And that's important for Kyle Pitts. So when you think about it, getting him at a high spot, you have to want that and need that.
Yeah.
That has to be extremely important to your offense. If you told me that the Miami Dolphins were taking him at 4, I would say, okay, they got the other tight end, they got him, they can go 2 tight end sets, he does just enough, they can use the other guy as the inline blocker, he can pop out in certain situations. He can put his hand on the ground, all of a sudden they move, The quarterback screens move. He pops out. Now, all of a sudden, he detaches from the formation. Slant fade guy. The defender walks out on him. It tells the quarterback immediately it's man-to-man. If you got those sort of things in your mindset, that this is what you want to do with him, then it works. But if you just drafted him because he's sexy and he looks good to you, then that's the wrong thing because he's not a fast twitch guy. So he's stuck in between. And what I mean by that is receivers are twitchy.
Yeah.
Guys like myself was twitchy, big enough to drop my hips, get in and out of the breaks, no matter if you lined up a linebacker, receiver, defensive back, corner, whoever, they were going to have a problem because they knew those sort of things. The thing with him is he's tall. So immediately at 6'6", his wingspan probably takes him to 7 feet tall. So if they're throwing the ball, he can high point it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would do is I'd just take a Jalen Ramsey who's long, line him up on him and say, you ain't going to outrun him. You ain't going to outwiggle him. Now I take my corner and put him out there, and I don't have to worry about the liability.
All right, but everybody's saying about him being like best player available, and that's the whole thing with the Cowboys. Like Marcus Spears said, he hopes to God that he doesn't fall to 10 because he doesn't want to see the Cowboys get him. I kind of hope to God he does just to see if the Cowboys will take him. Is he somebody that the Cowboys, like if he's there, should the Cowboys, because that's a guy that everybody believes is outside the quarterbacks is the most important or maybe the best non-quarterback talent in this draft, but it doesn't mean that fills a need for the Cowboys. Does he fill a need for the Cowboys?
No, he doesn't fill a need for the Cowboys, in my opinion. The need for the Cowboys, again, is a secondary. Farley, Surtain, Horn, J.C. Horn out of South Carolina, or an offensive lineman. Because they're getting a little up in age on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And so even though those guys, they come back healthy, Zubin, then they got a nice offensive line. But if you can add one of these big dudes that make sense on your board, you add them. And Jerry Jones Jr., Lord. Stephen Jones, although they do have a son named Jerry Jones Jr., but Stephen Jones said it a couple of days ago. They're focused in on defense. I understand what Jerry's saying. Jerry likes to talk. That's what you got to know about him. He's doing exactly what he wants to do, and he's saying exactly what he expects for us to say after him, which is have a conversation about the Dallas Cowboys. He knows how to plant seeds. And so I don't think they take him, and I don't think he falls to 10 anyway. I don't think he falls
to 10. Yeah, it'd be a surprise.
Because somebody will see him do this, and they will go up to get him because they need that specifically in their system.
The real question, of course, is does he look like an 84?
Yeah, he kind of looks like an 84. Yeah, the reason why he looks like an 84 because he's not twitchy enough. He's not overly big. He's just right size-wise, and he's a really good player.
And one last thing on a more serious note, it is interesting. Remember the last time the Cowboys had this sort of situation? They could have taken Johnny Manziel, the glamorous pick, right?
Jerry wanted to.
Right, Jerry wanted to. Steven talked him out of it. They took Zach Martin, helped their offensive line. It was an unglamorous pick, offensive lineman versus a big-time quarterback like that. This time around, it's the same thing. Surtain is certainly a great player, but he doesn't have the wattage of somebody like Kyle Pitts, but it might be the best fit for the Cowboys, and you got to make what's the right fit for the team. And as Key said, they got to bolster what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. On the way, we'll continue the conversation about Kyle Pitts.
What number would you be, Zubin?
I don't know. It's a good
Zubin's
question.
Zubin's like a 10 or 12.
What do I look
like in that range?
Don't call. Nobody cares.